we had one game in the books. Vikings, I think they basically wrapped up the NFC North earlier this afternoon. They beat the Lions, and now we get the Chargers up 3-0 against Dallas in a night game tonight that nobody really cares about. And I can't believe we're bothering an American.
Yeah.
I can't believe an American took our call and said, yeah, we'll do this.
Exactly.
It has to be a guy we're familiar with, a guy we really like.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline is our TSN football analyst, Alex Marvez.
Alex, are you struggling to stay awake during this 3-0 tilt?
I got a true story for you. So after the Vikings game, I had to write something for Sporting News. It's up there right now, a Case Keenum column. And I went to sleep for 45 minutes. And what I did was I put the game on DVR, the Chargers-Cowboys game, timed it perfectly so that I would catch up by the time I came on the air with you so I could watch the Chargers look toward another heartbreaking loss. Because, you know, somewhere along the way, they're going to screw this up, right? I mean, you got a kicker who can't kick right now with a bad back. They did send him back out there. But this Cowboys offense is dreadful. 25 possessions and counting right now since they've scored a touchdown without Ezekiel Elliott. And you know what? Dez Bryant looks so slow. Cannot make plays yards after catch. By the way, was held without a target, let alone a catch, for the first time since October of 2013. Dak Prescott didn't even look his way in the first half. Got a change in the second half.
Wow. Yeah, those are ugly stats, man. I think the Cowboys are done. Anyway, the NFC's just got too many top-heavy teams. I mean, we know the Eagles are going to win that division, but I think a team out of the South is going to get in. Maybe two. Maybe both wild cards come out of the South. I think clearly the NFC West with the Rams and the Seahawks, they're going to battle it out. I think for the most part, the Eagles are in, and I think the Vikings are in. And I think that's about it. I mean, we'll see what happens with the other divisional leaders, but I can't picture the Cowboys going on a run here. I think their season is done.
I think their season was done a while ago. And the reason I say that is, you know, they started off, you know, poorly before, and they've never, you know, under Jason Garrett at 2-3, you know that they've never come back from 2-3 under Jason Garrett to make the playoffs. It's like always, you know, feast or famine with this Cowboys team. If they start strong and they feel good about themselves, they keep that momentum going. But you know what? If they don't, then forget it. It's bumpy. And there's just some things missing on this team. The inability to make big plays on the, you know, on the offensive side of the ball right now without Zeke Elliott, it's a killer for them. And, you know, the big thing is, you know, if they can make it a two-game season, you know, if they get Zeke back, they're playing Seattle December 24th. And by the way, I am not as bullish on Seattle as you are. I think Seattle has really, you know, with the loss of Richard Sherman now, this is not a team now that worries me on the defensive side of the ball because, you know, now the whole field is open to throw against, right? It isn't just, you know, one side of the field you have to ignore because Richard Sherman is there, or the Seahawks could put him on a top receiver. No, I don't see that. And I'm not sure if Russell Wilson has enough juice himself along the way to single-handedly carry this team into the postseason. Then again, do we believe in the Rams after what they did against the Vikings last week, or are the Vikings that darn good? Philadelphia, Minnesota, the two teams right now, although beware the Saints. We're going to learn a lot more about them this weekend as well when they play the Rams. Beware the Carolina Panthers. They've been there and done that before. Cam Newton playing some unbelievable football. He has a swag back, and who knows what's up with these Falcons, right? I mean, it's funny. You watch that game Monday night, and I'm thinking, you know, if Kyle Shanahan were offensive coordinator, no, they wouldn't have blown the game. I mean, like, you know, for the everything except for the Super Bowl, I really feel like they would have blown Seattle out of the water. And Steve Sarkisian, to me, still struggling to find his niche as offensive coordinator for this team, but they are a dangerous team. 5 division games left for the Falcons, by the way, down the stretch here this season. That is significant because they can create their own path to the postseason by winning those games.
You mentioned Case Keenum and the Vikings. It's been such a fabulous story, but is he ever going to feel safe with Teddy Bridgewater sitting on the bench? I was listening to the guys on Fox today, and they were like, you know, they're just waiting for something to happen. Where do you think this guy's head's at? He's been fantastic for the Vikings.
You see, that's the amazing part about it, that I thought that Case, you know, might have wilted over the past couple weeks. Instead, he's playing even better. Mm-hmm. Than what he's done. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like he's actually responded by keeping Teddy Bridgewater in mothballs, right? And that to me is such a positive sign. And you know, I have more on Case at sportingnews.com, this amazing ascent of a guy that was really signed as an insurance policy in case Sam Bradford got hurt again, and Teddy Bridgewater, the Vikings didn't know how long it would take him to get ready to play. 1 year, $2 million contract. And listen, with the way he's playing, he may end up being the guy long term. I mean, maybe Case Keenum has found an offensive system that truly plays to his strengths. Clearly, he uses so many different targets there, and he's surrounded by the best supporting cast that he's ever had. I mean, this is a pretty remarkable deal right now. The fact that he's guided this team, you know, 7-2 record as a quarterback. He doesn't make big mistakes. He doesn't turn the football over. And, you know, he has a pretty good presence about him to avoid sacks as well. You know, and when you have that type of defense that the Vikings have, by and large, you're going to win most of your games if you don't commit, you know, foolish turnovers. So, again, a lot of credit to Case Keenum for the job that he has done. I think the only way we see Teddy Bridgewater on the field the rest of the season is if the Vikings have already clinched a playoff game and they just want to take a look at Teddy maybe in Week 17.
What do you think about the circus in Buffalo? My host here just thinks it's so Buffalo Bills to switch quarterbacks and then realize that Peterman can't really play, and now they're going back to Tyrod Taylor. Is this just a Buffalo Bills thing to do?
It's a Buffalo Bills thing, too. Actually, you know what it is more than that as well, is a first-year coach thing to do. And Sean McDermott, I think, you know, feeling a little bit good about himself for a little bit, and, oh, I made these great decisions early on, and we were 5-2, so let me change the quarterback. And now, this week, you know, he used the phrase, in the hunt, repeatedly, right? That's what he did. He kept saying it over and over again. Well, you know, why he made the quarterback switch. Well, you were in the hunt last week, and you still decided to go with a guy on the road, by the way, against two of the NFL's best pass rushers to put that young man out there. And I know that every home game for the Chargers is a road game. I understand all that. But nonetheless, you put him in a situation where he wasn't probably going to be able to succeed, and it blew up. And listen, this is how players start to doubt their head coach, you know, and I can see a little bit of that maybe creeping in with the Miami Dolphins as well, because, you know, right now that the Jay Cutler thing has been just such a disaster, and Adam Gase continues to want to try to play him and give him every chance. It's like he made this commitment to Jay Cutler that no matter how poorly Jay played, he was going to play him. Well, that's a negative as well, because then players lose respect for the coach. They're like, well, if performance doesn't matter, then why bother, right? I mean, is this just political gamesmanship? That's why we're playing in this? And so I just think a big mistake by Sean McDermott. We'll see what they do. Fortunately for them, the Chiefs aren't playing good football right now. But, you know, look, this Bills team, again, I think fading toward, and you know, this is a problem too. You start off, you overachieve, right, a little bit early on. People, the expectations are getting higher. Then you start crashing back to earth. Because, look, it's not just all on the quarterback, too. Who does he have to throw to? The targets right now really limited. As Kelvin Benjamin, he got hurt in that game. You're trying to work him in. You know, Charles Clay being banged up, Jordan Matthews being banged up. I mean, he does not have a full complement of weapons to go to, no matter who's at center. I think Tyrod was doing a solid enough job for the offense to do their part. Unfortunately, he can't play defense and stop the run himself.
You mentioned you had a nap. How many Americans are going to be sleeping all evening with the Redskins playing the Giants later on?
Fans of 30 other NFL teams or those who are not gambling?
Those it's are the a ones. Brutal game. Isn't this brutal? Yes. Like, NBC must brutal. Be freaking out.
It is. Well, you know, can you flex, right? You know what I mean?
And I would.
I know. And, you know, listen, you'll get, you know, the major markets, obviously, they'll tune in a little bit, you know, in terms of D.C. and the Giants, obviously, the number one media market. So, I mean, they'll have a respectable audience. But, no, it's a disaster, you know? I mean, you know, listen, if the game's amusing, people will put it on. But it doesn't really mean all that much. And I feel for the Redskins because I actually think they, you know, there's some really good things that Kirk Cousins has done this year, this team has done this year. But they're down to nothing. I mean, they are scrappy, but they just ultimately run out of gas sometimes because they just got no players left. And you've seen that the past 2 weeks after they upset Seattle. There's no reason they should have gone on the road and beat Seattle and then given New Orleans all that they could, and then they squandered that 15-point lead late. But they're playing hard. As for the Giants, it's a curious thing because, you know, Eli Manning's pep talk and Ben McAdoo pressing the right buttons last week, you beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That was a good thing, but this team is still pretty darn lousy. But there are some spots where they're getting a little bit better. Eric Flowers is a little bit better, but listen, I'm overhyping this game. It's two teams that aren't in the playoffs. Yes, it's Thursday night football, but after a whole day of football, you're right. I think a lot of people may just watch college, or they may actually talk to each other, like sit at a table,
yeah,
like a family setting. Weird.
Go old school. Thank you for doing this, especially on a holiday. We'll do it again.
Of course, for you guys, anytime. It's great to hear from y'all. Happy American Thanksgiving. Yay.
You got it. There he is, Alex Marvez from the Sporting News, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Check out the new 2018s and get rates starting at 0% plus receive 5,000 Aeroplan miles with every purchase. Go to mapletoyota.com.